On our program today, we're going to visit with Jen McAvoy, Outreach Specialist with Community and Family Resources. Jen, good to have you back.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Here we are. You've now we're school is out. Mm-hmm. We're into June. Getting a little quieter.
Yes.
Slowing down a little bit. But you did have a busy, last week, Monday, you went to the kickoff carnival. You were one of the many agencies that joined library and the kickoff carnival for their summer reading program. Get a lot of people come through there.
Yeah, we saw a lot of people, did a lot of education around substances. I had problem gambling information specifically for parents who wanted to know about youth and how youth are accessing gambling through video games and apps, and then just showing parents different substances and what to be aware of.
So accessing gambling, did they sit there and look at that? Did it ever dawn on them about some of those video games on how it leads to gambling?
Yeah, that's a good question. So a lot of parents aren't aware that gambling's happening on video games. So just letting them know, hey, this is happening, this is what it looks like. Because a lot of kids might go unsupervised while playing a game, so parents might not be aware of what is happening. So just educating them on even the free games that are available on phones have gambling aspects as part of the game.
Oh, yeah. You can get this prize. You can get this.
Exactly.
I have to do this so I can get this and go to the next level.
Yep, exactly.
See, who would have thought? Candy Crush.
I know. That's one of the big ones.
It's... I don't play it. I've seen it.
Same, yeah.
So those are, but again, that's one of those things where it's kind of leads into a lot of things. So as they grow up, then they don't think twice about getting, if I do this, I could get this. And
exactly.
Now you got all the video gambling. Of course, there's age limitations, but.
Yeah, there's ways around it, though. So
as we've seen.
Yes, exactly.
So we got that. So so gambling addiction, information there on that. And then so the other things that you were showing about the in plain sight kind of things.
Yeah. So we have.
This is part of the SAFE Coalition.
Yes, so. Part of the SAFE Coalition. We have a kind of like a binder that opens up and it shows different substances for our parents to be aware of. And ours is currently outdated, but we did order a new one with newer substances like e-cigarettes, different THC products that parents can be aware of. And then when that comes in, future events will be able to share the newer...
Mm-hmm. Get the new
yes,
data.
Exactly.
So, when you talk about e-cigarettes, do they realize how young some kids are getting access to some of that?
They're very shocked and they don't understand how young kids are getting access, but then we explain it like some kids will go into shops knowing they don't ID, or they'll get it from maybe a friend's older sibling or a friend's parents, and then it's a real big eye-opener for them.
It's kind of like the things we used to talk about where did grandma's prescription medications go or something like that. There was a full bottle there. It's half there now.
Yep.
You know, they would take it and go out and have parties.
Yeah, they would. So we always encourage parents, grandparents to lock medicine up, make it so it's not easy to access for kids, because maybe kids are curious and they open up a cupboard. Oh, what's this? I'll try it. So it's just keeping it away from kids is the key.
Younger kids in particular, curious.
Yes, they're so, very curious.
And they get up there. They can climb.
Yes, they can climb.
So, we got all of that to do. So keep working on those items. So other things, when you were at the carnival, kickoff carnival, you did some other things too, some safe things. That, like, did you use the goggles and things like that?
We did. So we have alcohol goggles that are 0.08. And then so we have the kids put them on and then see if they can walk heel to toe in a straight line. And a lot of them cannot. And we'll throw a ball and see if they can catch it. And so
it distorts your vision, folks.
If
you don't know what it is, it distorts your vision.
It does. And a lot of kids will ask them how that felt, and they'll say, it was really weird. I don't want to feel like that.
They get dizzy, don't they?
They get dizzy, and then they think they're in a straight line, but they're way off of the line. And then we ask them, do you think you could drive like this? And they say, oh, no, I couldn't because of I can't see things or they're blurry.
So I'm guessing that would be I don't know how young you do. I mean, you can put them on younger kids, and to them, they'd think it was just a game.
Exactly. We try to aim for maybe like middle school, high school, mm-hmm. just because they have a better understanding of what alcohol is, what it does to the body, and then they're more, they can understand more. But we definitely put them on quite a few high schoolers, and it was a big eye-opener for them.
Yeah. They do those. Yeah, they find out a lot there, too. So still working, like you said, on updating your kits, your information, though, and getting good. You were working on doing some, what, backpacks?
Yeah, we were working on the backpacks. At the carnival, YSS was there with their trailer, and mm-hmm. so a couple SAFE members and I got to walk through and just see the different substances, and it was a big eye-opener for us just to see what is out there as well.
And the one part that, and I remember from the presentation they made, at least to the supervisors, was we got everything locally.
Yeah, they got it here in Boone, so it's
and
around.
And you look at it, you go, whoa.
Yes.
It's all here.
It is.
More accessible here locally.
Yeah, very accessible.
Well, that's just one of the things that was up. So we don't know what they'll bring the trailer out for other events, other things like that. Don't know what's coming up here over the summer months, but there could be some things like we get around the fair and things like that. So
yeah.
Other community events people might have. Or you could be in the parades. We don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the parade, but I would assume they would be at the Boone mm-hmm. County Fair. Maybe they'll be at Pufferbilly Days. Just have to kind of see what their schedule looks like for the summer.
What everything's going on. Let's talk a little bit about, again, one of the big things we always talk to you about is the fact that you're the one who can tell the story about the different services that are available. And that is one of the big things why we keep visiting with CFR, because there are a lot of services that are available through CFR. But you can't, I mean, they don't do any good unless somebody comes in and asks about them.
Exactly.
And finds out about them and wants to use them.
Mm-hmm.
That's where our success is.
Exactly. So just educating people on the services we have available and then getting the word out there is really important, because you don't know, someone may be looking for services and then they hear this and they might go, oh, that's where I seek help. And that's really helpful for them.
And for you guys, it's no pressure. I mean, what CFR does, I mean, you do an assessment, basically kind of get an idea, and then it's up to them if they want that service, and whichever service it might be, whether you have recovery issues or addiction issues, or again, there's a number of different things. So where do you start?
Yeah, so we do
that. Leaves it up to you.
Exactly.
Your people say, I think you should start here. Go from there.
Yes. So we do an intake process. So they have them fill out like paperwork, name, address, what they're being seen for. And then they do an initial UA, and then they're screened for whether it be alcohol use, opioid use, and then they get scheduled with a counselor, and then they go from there as part of their treatment. But we always have them paired with the counselor, and then we do group classes as well. And we found a big success in having that one-on-one as well as the group, because then they're surrounded by people that are there to support them as well. Mm-hmm. So having that community is very key for someone that's in recovery.
Does it tend to work better starting out individually so they're comfortable with what they want to accomplish and then maybe advance to group?
I would say so, yeah. Some people are just more comfortable in that one-on-one setting, and it takes them a little bit to get comfortable being around a group of people. We initially like to do that one-on-one and see how they're feeling.
Do your providers, do they see once people advance into groups, then they get more of a community together? I mean, you know, I'm not the only one in this group. There are others having the same kind of issues. So we know that there are, is that a little more successful?
Yeah, I would say so. Just having someone that's in the group with them, so they have that attitude that, oh, I'm not alone. There's other people here that are struggling, and I can share my story, and we can be a community together.
I'm talking with Jen McAvoy, the outreach specialist, again, with Community and Family Resources. So one of the things I know when originally when CFR was contacted to provide some assistance, and it had to do with alcohol addiction, people who lost their licenses and things. And at the time, many years ago, we had to go to like Ames was the commute, or you had to get over there for the program, and a lot of them couldn't make it. So we still have travel issues out there, but you guys work different ways to try to help them out where you can.
Yeah, we do. So for the DUI classes in Ames, right now they're not located in Boone, but hopefully in the future they might be available.
You still have to go.
Yes, exactly. So a lot of people that maybe live in a different town or a county, they'll have to get a ride. Or a lot of people in Ames who don't have their license that are trying to get their license back, they might take the bus or they might walk. So they have to find different ways to get to the class to get that license back.
So we still only have it in one locale.
Yeah, we do have it.
Work with what we've got to try to get you there, yeah.
We do have it in Fort Dodge and Iowa City, but that's even further than Ames. So Ames
is
Ames is the closest for Boone residents or people around.
So, and one thing I always like to ask on that, so again, usually during the school year, we get a number of college students that maybe have gotten that. Did they kind of get all of their stuff taken care of before they were done with school? Because I think there's usually a little crowd to try to get in there. I know some people that used to do some teaching for some of that, and they said there's different kind of times of the year where you get little surges of participation.
I would say when college goes back into session in August, like late August, early September, we see a lot of participants that might have gotten a DUI or something over the summer. We see a lot of like middle-aged adults as well. Sometimes we even see people that got a DUI years ago and they're just now getting their license back.
Hard to believe, but yes, that does happen too. Do you get, and I know that this is something because they'll do citations for boaters and stuff like that. Do they have to take that too, or is that a little different?
I think that's a little different. Okay. I've taught the class a couple of times, and I don't think I've had any situations like that. But we have had people that we're seeing a lot of people in there for THC use. So someone that uses THC.
So not necessarily alcohol, but
driving
under the influence, right?
Yeah. So it can be any substance. It doesn't have to be alcohol. So now they have seltzers on the market or edibles. Someone might take too much or have too much, and they might think they're safe because it's not alcohol, but that's not the case. I think usually half of the class is from THC and then half is from alcohol.
I think, and that kind of runs to different times of the year where we see some of that cycling up. But now probably more so with what's available out there.
Yeah, there's a lot that's available, especially with the seltzers. They're available in grocery stores. A lot of restaurants have them. They're sold in packs of four, so someone might not have just one. They might have the entire pack and think they're fine, and then they get pulled over and lose their license.
You are under the influence. So.
Yeah, exactly.
See, the things we learn here. Yeah, that's one of the new things we have to keep up on. Some of the other services, of course, CFR has a lot of other services too. You do, you have psychiatric access or things like that? And I mean, by the way, folks, CFR back when was like only 8 counties. Now it's 15, 20?
I would say around that, yeah.
It's grown quite a bit.
It has. We do have a psychiatric nurse on staff, social, Medicaid, and help put prescriptions in, things like that. We offer counseling. Right now we're 10 to 12 months out from mental health counseling.
Wow.
But with that, our counselors have a list of other organizations, so other mental health organizations they can refer a client to. So if they're coming in for, say, alcohol use, but they really want mental health counseling and they're not able to get in for a year, we can look at a list and kind of refer them to another facility that can get them in sooner.
Okay. But is there still a shortage?
I would say so.
I mean, even with the accessibility of other agencies.
Yeah, it just kind of depends. I don't know what other organizations have a wait list. You just kind of have to call and see what their wait list looks like.
And each, I'm guessing, because you just do go to like our human services?
I do, yes.
And so we've got a lot of agencies that work together, but all of you would probably be kind of in the same boat where we're seeing this many people and we only have, you know, we might have more space here, or we don't, we're filled up and we have a waiting list.
Yes. That's kind of what we're seeing. And then we have our MAT clinic in the Ames location. So someone that's trying to get off of opioids or alcohol will come in and take this liquid every day. And just the goal is to wean them off of that substance to prevent them from going through those detox symptoms. And then the end goal is to not have to take it at all and just be completely sober from that.
Now, is that just a Story County service? That one, or is it, could somebody from Boone access that?
Someone from Boone could access it, but right now we don't have the MAT clinic in the Boone location, but we do also have it in Fort Dodge and some of our other places.
So I know, because I know that you were doing different things, different counties had different kinds of services available.
They do, yeah. So some of the bigger counties like Story might have a little bit more access versus Boone, but Boone does have counseling, group classes, things like that. So there are services available in Boone for people that need them.
For a lot of people, it's kind of a quiet spot down there on the south side, on South Marshall, where your office is located. But you do have people that are in there. And if someone is interested in stopping in to get information, maybe they have a friend that might need some assistance, they can come in and somebody can say, we got to do the assessment first. Bottom line is that is the first thing, and then we work off that.
Yes. Yeah. I would encourage people to either call or just stop in and kind of seek information that way, whether it's for themselves or a loved one or a friend. I'm just getting that initial information, and then they can pass it on to whoever they're seeking the information for.
And again, there are different kinds of assistance available. It depends on exactly if they go to the, if they went to your website, cfrhelps.org, I mean, they there's a lengthy list.
There is.
Of different kinds of services. Behavioral, a big one is the behavioral mental health service.
Absolutely.
And that's one of the big ones that the state is looking at right now. How do we make that help? How would we make that work? You know, they're kind of consolidating, and somewhere along the line, somewhere we have, it's out there.
Yeah, it is.
It's there. It's just a lot of times you might have to work a little to find it. So.
Definitely, yeah.
But we keep working at it, too. Once again, Jen McAvoy has been our guest on our program today. So as the summer comes up, by the way, Jen's expecting, we'll just say. So before it gets too hot, let's hope. But you do have other people that might be doing some things potentially. We could be looking at the fair. I don't know about fun days, but we've got other things. As we get back into school time towards the end of the summer, I'm pretty sure that a lot of different things start to pick up for them as well.
Yeah.
We start getting college students back and things.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we have some back to school fairs. So I know Ames has a couple. Boone, I believe, has a couple. So those are some other events that our staff will be interested in as well. Okay.
So if you hear that SAFE Committee has something on display somewhere, make sure you go and check it out and see what they have, because some pretty interesting things that have been put together. I appreciate you taking time to come in and visit with us. And once again, stay cool.
Thank you. Okay. You too.
Jen McAvoy, our guest on our program today. She is the Outreach Specialist for Community and Family Resources.